There are two accounts that I would like to visit before we look to our text in the book of Ruth. So I'd like you to turn to the book of Luke, if you would. Luke chapter 10. And while you're turning there, allow me to read verses 37 and 38 of John chapter 12. But though he had done so many miracles before them, speaking of Christ, yet they believed not on him. That the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? To believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, one must be quickened, given life, made alive for whom once was dead. To believe God's word, one must have the truths of Scripture revealed to the heart. A heart that receives these truths is a heart that God is doing a work in. For all come into this world dead in trespasses and sin. Adam sinned against God and died in the garden, and all mankind died with him. The dead cannot raise the dead. Only God can give life. Man can preach the gospel, but only God can make it effectual to our hearts. One of my favorite verses is when the Lord asks Simon Peter, who sayest that I am? He says, thou art the Son of the living God. And our Lord says to him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Oh, how blessed we are, for we could and would have gone the very way of Orpah. Yet he has loved his people with an everlasting love, a love that is so great that he gave his only begotten Son. He gave him as a sacrifice, a substitute, a ransom for our sins. Oh, what a wonder that he, the God-man, God in human flesh, was made to be sin for us, that we, his elect, may be made righteous in him, our Savior. Most of mankind will, in fact, refuse to accept those truths, as we did at one time before also. You cannot enter into heaven because of your own wisdom. For the wisdom of God is foolishness to mankind, and God is the one who makes us to differ. Are you with me in Luke chapter 10? Let's begin at verse 21 and 22. And in that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit. Todd Nybert has recently preached a message on that, and I want to just take a break here a moment and put in a plug like you did for Don Fortner. What an awesome message you can find on Sermon Audio by Todd Nybert titled, And Jesus Rejoiced. Go listen to it. But we'll continue on. Our Lord says, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. And to he to whom the Son will reveal him. Now, turn to the left to Matthew. And let's look at this same event over in Matthew chapter 11. Matthew gives us pretty much the same thing we just read, but he adds a little something to it. And this is by the inspiration of the Lord Jesus Christ, These are the words that Matthew recorded that God in the flesh spoke of. So beginning in verse 25, "And at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, and neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him." And here comes some wonderful stuff right here. "Come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light."
Amen.
There's an invitation from the Lord speaking to his people. To his people that have that new heart. A heart that has faith in God. A heart that believes God's word. Those who have received the gift of faith. Christ is speaking to you. You who know what your sin really is. Those of us that see what we truly are before God. Sin. Deserving nothing but his wrath. You can't know that for sure and in full depth unless the Lord reveals that to you. What a burden it is to see the sin that we have upon ourselves. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. Because he has paid for that sin, the sin of his people, in full. 100%. Now let's go to our text in Ruth. And let's pick up where we left off. We saw a family leave the house of God. They left the house of bread, Bethlehem, and they went to Moab. They went to the land of Moab where idols were worshipped, where mankind made themselves to be gods. And in that time, the husband died. And the two sons who had married also died and left three widows. Three widows, broken. Nothing left to support them. On their own. And then one heard the gospel message. The message that God had visited his people once again. She had heard the good news that God had visited his people. No doubt that Naomi shared this with her daughter-in-laws, spoke about it. No doubt Naomi spoke about who her God was. The ruler over everything. Controller of all things. Creator of all things. God's people do that. We may not go out and publicize it on the street corner or something, but when those that come around us, we don't hide it, do we? Naomi didn't want her daughter-in-laws to go with her. Not for sake of mercy for her, or for out of, no, mercy's not the right word. Compassion, you know, go with her because she's got nothing left, so we need to go and take care of her. She didn't want that. She wanted them to go for other reasons, which we will see soon. So she encouraged them to return unto their people, unto their gods. Verse 14, "And they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law." In other words, Orpah accepted that invitation to return home. The kiss was a kiss of love. "I love you, but I am going back." But Ruth clave unto her. The emotions ran high, but Orpah's eyes were on the things of this world. She knew what it was in her land. She had grown up there. She knew what to expect with her people. But over there in that land, where God rules all things according to his will, even the will of man, well, that's a different story. I don't know if I can believe that. Do any of you remember thinking that? Were you ever in a spot in your life where, I can't believe that crazy stuff that those people do over in that church. No, I don't think I want to go over there. I'd rather stay right here where I am watching football or doing my ceremonies of swinging incense or doing the ceremonies of baptism or all those things that I know that I can physically do and hold on to. No, I don't want to go to that land that I don't know, that I can't see their God like I can the one that I just carved with my hand. Orpah had no faith, did she? She believed not, because she was not one of God's sheep. You don't need to turn there, but in John 10, 24 through 30, it says, "Then came the Jews round about him, round about Jesus, and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. And Jesus answered them," he says, "I told you. I told you I'm the Christ. And ye believed not. In fact, the works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me." He raised people from the dead. Nobody was able to do that before. Nobody had ever done that. Could you imagine seeing that miracle? You know Lazarus was dead. You knew he was in the grave. And here this man comes before you and says, "Lazarus, come forth." You would think that would just, whoo! For sure, that's got to be the God. But they did. They saw that and they still didn't believe. "But ye believe not," our Lord says, "because you're not of my sheep." Orpah wasn't one of his sheep. "As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." Did you notice he didn't say, "I offer them eternal life"? No, "I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish." You see the good news coming, folks? This is what we have to praise our Lord for. This is the glory that we have, is the glory in our Lord Jesus Christ for what he has done for us. "Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Who can separate us from the love of God?" If you could separate one person that God loves from him, would you still call him God? No, you couldn't. Wouldn't be the name God. Wouldn't fit anymore, would it? "My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." "And Ruth heard the voice of God and followed him. She clave unto Naomi." She wouldn't let her go. The word clave means to beg. Don't push me away. I need to stay with you. She may not have understood why she was giving up the known for the unknown, but she did it anyway, despite what Naomi had said. I can remember the confusion that was in my life when the Lord began to call me out of darkness. I had I had no understanding as to why I was so drawn to this place to hear that the word that was being preached from this pulpit. There was at least once where I was in tears with Steve and Pastor Gene asking them, what's going on? Why is this happening to me? Ruth may not have known why, but she knew that she had to go. And she didn't hesitate. Look at verse 15. And she, Naomi, said, behold, thy sister-in-law has gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. Naomi loved these two women. She did not want them coming for her sake. And is this the way? And this is the way, is it not, with us? We want our loved ones to come to God, yet not because of our desire, but because it's a genuine call from the Lord. Oh, how often we have seen one come to church for our sake. Because of a loved one's pleading. My mom used to ask me, what do you want for Mother's Day, Mom? And she would say, I just want you to come to church with me. Yes. And that's what I did. Go to church and take her to dinner afterwards. I don't recall ever hearing a message. I know that somebody stood there and said words. I just couldn't tell you what it was. I couldn't tell you what it was about. Not once did I ever hear the gospel preached and it stuck to me. Not until the Lord called. Oh, don't get me wrong. I encourage my children and my family who aren't saved to come to church and hear the gospel preached, but I'm not holding anything over their head. My sister-in-law lived with us for a while, and she's been gone now for a couple weeks. I'm not sure if she's coming back, but that's okay. She's safe and everything's good. I've never once told her that she had to come to church in order to live in my home. And I have always told her that if she does come to church, it's because God has drawn her there. And then I go about living my life the best way I can so that she can see that the Lord is in our lives. Yes. We pray, God have mercy on them for Christ's sake, as Mike said in his devotion. As you have had mercy on me, O Lord, I ask that you would have mercy on my loved ones. And then we sit back and wait on the results of God's work. Who can stay his hand? Look at verses 16 through 18. And Ruth said, entreat me. Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also. It ought but death part thee and me. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left, speaking unto her. So, Ruth would not go back the way to where things were known, but yet decided to go to the unknown. Why? Why would Ruth do that? Why did John Reeves come to this church? Because God brought me here. The same reason every one of us are here this morning. Because God brought us here. In the day of his power, who can resist the will of God? Who can stay his hand? All power in heaven and earth has been given to the Lord our Savior, Jesus Christ. He sits on his throne in heaven, working all things out according to his good pleasure. It was his good pleasure to humble himself, his glory, and walk this earth as a man and as God. 100% man and 100% God.
Yes, sir.
As the God-man, he walked perfect because he could walk no other way. Establishing a perfect righteousness that he would impute for his chosen people. But wait a minute. Our sin must be punished. Our iniquities must be paid for. And so this right and perfect man provided himself a sacrifice. Completely, thoroughly redeeming all that the Father hath given him. Fully and perfectly, so that the Father, seeing his darling Son's blood, could look upon this people justified. Is that really settled in your minds? It almost blows it up, doesn't it? Just as if we'd never sinned. That's how God looks on us right now. That's how God looks on all his people, looking on his Son, on the blood that was shed on the cross. And he is well pleased. Some may wonder, is he, am I preaching or am I teaching? I don't know about you folks, but I need to hear these truths over and over and over again. I am so prone to wander. I tend to turn to the things that I see before me. I tend to turn away from my Lord. That breaks my heart more than anything. Because I know how much he's loved me. I know what he's done for me, yet I can easily just stop looking and turn away. Yet he has promised me something. He has promised me that he'll never leave me nor forsake me. And I have faith in his word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Friday night, we heard this same message. A little differently, from different scripture, but that's exactly what Pastor Gene brought before us in Friday night's Bible study. Our Lord Jesus Christ and him crucified. Mike just brought that before us in his devotional. I have no doubt that Pastor Gene will bring that same message in a few moments during our services, and Mike will bring that same message once again this afternoon. It's the same message. It's the same message that I've been hearing now since 1999, almost 20 years. And it's still just as good today as it ever has been. I still need to hear it. You really think about this. If we go to every service that we can here, Friday night, Sunday Bible school, Sunday service, maybe Sunday evening, so that's four times a week. There's 7 days where we are filled with all the stuff that is out here. And four times in that week, we leave that behind and hear about the truth and hear about the one who has loved us and hear about the one who died for us and hear about the one who has cleansed us from our sin. What I'm trying to teach today is that we are blessed beyond anything that we can see with our eyes. We are so helpless, yet we have everything. We have Christ, and what else is there that could pair, that could be comparable to that? He sought us out when we ran with the goats. We did not know we were helpless sheep set up for the slaughter. Someday we need to do a study on the word shall. Lord willing, we might. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, our Lord says. The Lord revealed my sin to me, and that was a very big weight. But he did not leave me there. What did we read in Matthew? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's not just a one-time thing that the Lord says to my heart. Is it to yours? Every time I hear about who he is, what he's done, and what he's doing right now, he is speaking to us right then and there. Come unto me. Take my yoke upon you. And learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Ruth had no choice. She was a child of God. She just didn't know it yet. In Psalms 110, verse 3, it says, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. God made her willing in the day of his power, as he has done for each and every one of us. Let's finish chapter 1, shall we? Verses 19, so they too went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them, and they said, is this Naomi? Remember, Naomi went out pleasant. She went out with a husband and two sons. They left the church. They left where God was spoken of. And she said to them, call me not Naomi. Call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Is that not what God did to you? Did he not have to show you how empty you were before he could fill you with his Son, the Lord Jesus? I remember driving on the freeway, and I was actually listening to Harold Camping. I was on I-5 heading towards Reading, 3.5 hours. And I couldn't drive anymore. The Lord emptied me. I don't remember the exact words, but I could see that I had nothing. Absolutely nothing. And then he showed me I had everything. Everything. What more could we need? Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing that the Lord hath testified against me, and that the Almighty hath afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem, in the beginning of the barley harvest. Lord willing, we'll look at the barley harvest next week. And then we'll begin chapter 2. Pastor.